You are a market leader operating in a highly competitive industry where efficiency and tangible results are paramount. You have a small and dedicated marketing team focused on executing regular marketing communications that must deliver immediate, measurable outcomes. You need a marketing partner that can seamlessly collaborate with your team, ensuring swift and frictionless execution, all while achieving quantifiable results in real time. My name is Tyler Chisholm, and as the co-founder and CEO of Clear Motive Marketing, we can help. With over 15 years of working with clients exactly like you from across North America, we have the team, the skills, and the processes to deliver the marketing that matters to you. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or check out clearmotive.ca to learn more. Hello and a warm collision's YYC welcome to Miss Amber Griffith. How you doing, Amber?
I'm doing great, Tyler. Nice to see you.
Oh my God, long time no chat. We met, I don't know, years ago. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think COVID didn't help my misconception of time and the passage of time. But it's been a few years, and I was excited when you and your team reached out about the upcoming awards, which we'll talk about. But let's dive right into when we first met. You're, I think, just back from mat leave as the executive director at Access Connects. So it's been a few years. I want to touch base on the upcoming award show, which is going to be in a few days here once this goes live. But I also wanted to check in of what's happening at Access. Who are you? What do you do? How have things evolved? Let's give us a quick little elevator pitch and let's go from there.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. So when we spoke, I mean, Access has evolved. Like, we're 5 years old now. So we're nice. in what I call the maturing stage. We're deepening the work we do in the community, and our focus is on changing leadership. And what that means is changing leadership at like the face of leadership, and with a specific focus on gender diversity in leadership positions across the business community.
Okay. Talk to me about... I can jump to conclusions, or I can just ask the more curious question. What does that mean? Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, so we know that there is still a low representation of women in leadership positions, and it's quite a slow burner in terms of progress. Mm-hmm. So the latest statistics show us that there is only about 17% representation of women in board level roles in Alberta. And there's no commitment at this point to see more to have more data run on Alberta specific numbers. So that's a little bit of a dated number, but we have only been seeing very slow progress. So knowing that, and knowing that there is low representation of women in leadership, while also recognizing that diversity around decision making tables makes a difference, both for the economic side of things as also just for societal well being. Our commitment and our work is finding ways to increase the number of women in decision-making roles in the business community. And we do that through a series of programming and events and networking sessions and mentorship sessions to support women along their career journeys, to both keep them engaged in their roles, keep them progressing through their career. So that pipeline piece is really critical. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately to becoming leaders and on the both the executive side of things within their organizations, and then onto boards.
Okay. Do you have I'm assuming like any pyramid, almost 17% at the top. Does it go up at the C-suite, and then like how does that? Do you have a mental picture of like? Of course, if I had a whiteboard, I'm kind of. You could tell as you can see, I'm drawing it out in my mind. As we go down, does the percentage increase, or does that low number kind of permeate itself all the way down through the organization at different levels?
Well, interestingly, we're seeing large number of like almost like equal representation of men and women at that entry level of their careers.
Okay.
And so it's the pinch point is really that like mid-career level that we start to see the number drop and that women start to drop out. I mean, like that's attributed to, you know, starting a family. Maybe there's other sort of decisions that are impacted at that point in your career. But there's definitely like a slew of underlying barriers that women face as they progress through their careers. Like family is one, but there's also, you know, like unique aspects related to networking, sponsorship, and mentorship opportunities that that women and men have different opportunities in regards to that. Societal barriers, unconscious biases. Like there's a whole slew of different barriers that we see women face as they progress their careers. So that number of women and men sort of like differs at that mid-career. And then, so we're really focused on the pipeline piece. And so our organization looks at like mid to senior female career professionals, because that's when we really see the numbers start to draw.
Do you have any, and this might be obviously research driven, but also I appreciate your own personal beliefs. Is there some specific culprits we need to point out? Like obviously starting a family, there's a thing there. But when you talk about the cognitive biases, when you talk about the lack of mentorship or sponsorship, is there some things that even yourself you really point out? You're like, wow, that thing can go away anytime. Starting a family, there's some mechanics to that that I appreciate. We'll just separate that for the moment in the conversation. But these other things are more belief driven. So to me, they feel like they're much more ripe to be beat up.
So I would actually, rather than put the family piece to the side, I would highlight that one first, because when we look at parental leave, I think that's a really critical piece. You know, for example, we're hearing a lot these days about, extending maternity leave. And I actually like to call it parental leave deliberately, because I believe that a huge something that would really help to support women at that juncture. And there are a number of women that, myself included, that would have gladly shared my parental leave with my spouse. And that wasn't an option for us on in terms of like the normalization of parental leave, the normalization of like men sharing leave with their spouse. And in my case, that would have been something I would have opted for. I would have split our parental leave, and we are seeing jurisdictions across the world that actually push to normalize this. I think of Norway as an example. Like it's actually, the female can take 6 months. The male can take 6 months. They cannot share that time. So they have to choose like who's going to take whatever time they take, but it becomes normalized in society that, the male or, the spouse or the partner is going to take.
Thank you for clarifying. Thanks for pushing me back on that one for just going, but you're right. It's parental. I had a conversation with someone from Kira that ended up over in Sweden. And she's like, one of the biggest things, like she goes, even gender-based humor, they kind of look at you like, what do you mean? She goes, it just all of a sudden it kind of shows how easy or how quick we cling to these biases or these beliefs, but they can go away and it can completely change. She says, you go for lunch downtown, you see just as many men pushing strollers as women. And she said it was an interesting experience for her to just witness that it just wasn't even a conversation anymore in another part of the world than it is here.
Yeah. And then that would, and 100%, like that would then lead me to that value of that face-to-face time that leads to promotions. And so when you automatically have, women who are or families who are choosing to start a family and have children and have to take a certain period of time out of their careers, if that time could be shared between a man and a woman two partners without any sort of repercussion and or penalty in their career, like put the parental piece aside, if we just look at this post-pandemic dynamic and a large push for flexible work models and for women or men, choosing to work from home if that's an option. And there, that is a great option. And really, I can say I'm living it, supports having a family and having the ability to do it all, quote unquote. But it also comes with, in a lot of like company cultures aren't up to speed with that piece. So there's still those biases around that face-to-face interaction and having what we are calling promotion bias. And so if, for example, we're seeing more women take advantage of that work for home flex model, and they're not getting the face-to-face interaction that their male counterparts are in the workplace, more men are being promoted as a result. So, it's sort of like the family piece actually ties into a lot of this, but I'm not recognized that not everybody has families, and that's not all like a dynamic for everybody, but we're still seeing, regardless of that, that if there's that, there's some of those like promotion biases or some of those other pieces that come into play. The sponsorship piece and mentorship piece I mentioned is another interesting component, because there's just some interesting dynamics that come with sponsorship in particular. And I really those are quite separate, like mentorship being more of like a formal model sponsorship being more of like people within your network who will speak highly of you when you're not okay. in the room and speak of the skills and your abilities.
We'll advocate for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so those come about through informal networking, often through informal networking opportunities. So, you know, building relationships with somebody in your professional network, and then, you know, they get to know you, they get to know your skills, maybe they get to know what you're capable of even outside of your traditional role, and then can speak about you in a room that you're not in. And so those dynamics though are also really can be in quite intimate settings. They can be after work hours, you know, and so we're seeing as well, you know, and maybe this is in the era of like the Me Too movement, and I'm just sort of presuming here, but these elements do come into play as well for women and men who, you know, maybe women aren't being invited to the golf tournaments. Maybe women aren't being, you know, invited for an after work social gathering, just for some of the optics that come with that. And mm-hmm. so, you know, there are those pieces too that come into play. So I guess maybe if I'm to go back to your question and answer your question about, okay, well, what can we do in the immediate? I mean, like, those are some obvious low hanging fruits. Like, okay. I mean, let's normalize parental leave for men, and companies, we're seeing companies do this like individually and saying like, you know, we will give you a bonus, or we'll sort of like, you know, encourage that parental leave. Sure. There's those pieces. So that's on an ad hoc basis, but just from like a cultural perspective, like, you know, having more opportunities for women to participate safely and in without any sort of like undo optics around those social interactions, to build the critical networks to be able to be considered for promotions and so on. And so those are some, just like off the top of my head, some obvious pieces.
Those are great. And thank you for correcting me on even my own categorization in my mind of just switching just the word parental leave versus, yeah, it changes it. Is that something that also can be influenced at a legislative level, like to actually change the way we look at it legally and the way it's set up in our system from a work perspective? Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm always very hesitant to, okay. like, I'm not like, I think that can become quite like of a heavy-handed government. Okay. I'm of the belief that, you know, like, less government is more. And so we align on that one. We just need to be really cautious when government intervenes, because it comes with unintended consequences. Like, no matter what, you know, there's a government intervention that, you know, just has trickle down effects that maybe aren't always positive. And so I would say, like, I'd always caution, like, if the government is going to get involved in something around increasing gender parity in the workplace, it needs to be done really intentionally and really carefully, and I think in partnership with businesses that know best. I that approach is just critical, like that partnership piece of public and private. I would be really careful to have government get involved otherwise.
Which I completely appreciate that on so many levels. Education, this feels like it's so much more about just educating people. Like, changing hearts and minds is, it's not that, you know, you pushed a click and you bought something. It's not a conversion in that clear sense of like a commercial transaction. It's a hearts and minds, and you're changing deep-rooted beliefs. Is it really just a continuous push to education, advocacy, champions, people that are out there going, hey, no, we can do it differently. We can think about it differently. Just thinking about all the mechanisms, because you're playing the long game. And I love that. Yeah. And it's the game of inches, or maybe the game of maybe millimeters, when it comes to beliefs can be really hard to change.
So this is where I'm going to put a plug in for Access Connect, because actually through our Calgary Influential Women in Business Awards, I mean, that was started 5 years ago. Now we're going into our fifth awards next week. Or I suppose whenever this
days
airs
away,
on the
it's 12th days
of
away.
April.
That's it. Yeah, that was an excellent shift into like what are some of the things that you're doing to draw attention to this?
Yeah, and so what we're seeing is, I think one way to, like, if we want to talk about how to get this to be a broader like approach throughout society and throughout corporations, is for corporations that are doing the work already to have an opportunity to highlight that work that they're doing. And that's where, you know, I think that's why we've seen so much uptake for the Calgary Influential Women in Business Awards. It's, we have, We have sponsorship from some of the largest corporations across Alberta and beyond. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of corporations are actually already doing this work and are actually already committed to finding ways to address barriers that are unique to women as they progress in their careers. And they're doing that work from a data perspective and like understanding, okay, well, where are we seeing our female employees drop out? Why don't we have so many women in the pool to select from as we're looking at promoting people into leadership positions? And so they're doing this work and they're addressing some of these barriers and implementing really innovative policies from a private perspective and don't always have a place to showcase that. And so coming to and putting your brand behind Access Connects and the Calgary Influential Women in Business Awards is a really great avenue for organizations to showcase like their brand in alignment with an organization like us that is doing the work at a not-for-profit level to support and elevate women into leadership positions. So that would be one, I think, like, and I think it's obviously been a gap, because the level of support we see increases year by year. And so we're really encouraged by organizations saying, hey, me too, I'm doing this work. Let's put our brand behind this. Let's support. We're seeing more and more companies get involved with us.
It is a bit of a who's who logo soup you got going on here, for sure. It's impressive. If I was to your point, and I think you already answered it, how much that has grown over the last 5 years. I was at the event, I think, a couple of years ago. I think it was the first event after COVID that so many of us went to. Because I remember that being the joke of the night and everyone like, oh my God, it's my first time out in public in how many years? Yeah. And it was literally packed. There were so many people there. It was an impressive event. Because I'd really know it. You know when you're not really sure what you're going to and you show up and you're like, oh my goodness, like this is a movement. This is a powerful thing. Yes. I remember being quite overwhelmed and just really blown away by how it's just, and who was in the room? Like, look around. There were so many awesome people there.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think, we've seen this event start from just an idea from our founders of how do we celebrate excellence in our community, and specifically not just professional excellence, but, people that are on the ground day to day in a leadership position, influencing change and supporting women and supporting gender parity at the leadership level. And so we have five categories where we award female leaders and then a male champion. So we, the event started with this idea and it has now become like about 1400 to 1500 people that we're expecting to bring out to the Calgary Telus Convention Center next week, or on the 12th. So
in a couple of days, I know.
In a couple of days.
Podcasts, we're always in the future. We just don't know it yet.
So
is it tickets? Is it like, how does someone attend the event? Because let's just say hypothetically, it's 2 days before the event. Is there still space or is it sold out?
We sell out every year, but nice. We do still keep tickets open and have some contingency tables for the folks who are, lots of Calgarians last minute. And
we do have a last minute event culture. I have heard that from many event organizers.
So we do, we can visit Access Connects, AXISConnects.com to purchase a ticket. We typically start by offering sponsorship opportunities and table purchases. And then as we near the event, we open up individual ticket sales because not everybody is in a position to purchase a table of 10 or sponsor. Yeah. So there's lots of ways to attend.
Another aspect of Access, from my understanding when we first met to now, was how much you also participate with your network partners. Just, when you look across that network, maybe a snapshot of like, is that growing? Is there more organizations just getting involved with this same movement? Like, I appreciate how you've narrowed in and really taken your focus and said, oh no, this is our torch and this is what we're going to run with. But thinking about all those network partners that you get optics on, kind of what are you seeing out there? Is this continuing to grow? And like, are you optimistic with just how the movement continues to kind of permeate through our culture?
100% I'm optimistic. I'm seeing it. I would say break down what network partners means for us is similar organizations, not for profit or charity and such, that are committed to this work in some way, shape, or form. I would call it like the broader idea scope. So like inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. And so we partner with organizations across the city and actually beyond that are committed to this work in some way, shape, or form around the idea umbrella. And we will, you know, either support through like a partnership. Well, maybe like, for example, we've the Business Council of Alberta being a not-for-profit and a very big force in the business community in Calgary. We co-authored a editorial a few weeks ago on the gender parity and leadership broader topic. Like, so we find lots of ways to partner, whether that's through events, through support, through invitations to, you know, support and be part of our events, and or thought leadership, which we're really starting to branch into more so as an organization, is that like thought leadership piece on the gender diversity piece. And like, we were invited to the public policy roundtable with our Alberta's Minister of Status of Women on the economic participation of women in the workforce. And so we're really starting to deepen our work there too. So our network partners broadens. And I think that's part and parcel because we're seeing more organizations emerge to help to address this whole idea concept, which is, I think, just critical from an economic perspective and overall societal well-being.
I love it. And is it, I can only imagine this is a highly collaborative community.
Very much so. I mean, our like Access Connects emerged with the idea of being collaborative. Like, it was a hub and spoke model. So us being sort of the hub that hosts all the various other organizations that are committed to this work, and then support female professionals that are looking to find the right organization, whether that be, you know, from an industry perspective or their career level or so on, and to support them in their career journeys. And so we continue to really, you know, live that collaborative model in every way, shape, and form. So yes, very much so. And we find that other, like, I mean, competing in this space is just not going to get us to the end goal, which is overall like gender equality. So very, very collaborative, and our network partners are very collaborative and great to work with.
That was my assumption and certainly my hope, but I also recognize sometimes there's time constraints, there's resource constraints, there's funding constraints, like, that create competition maybe where there it isn't intended to be that, but it happens because we only have so much time and we only have so much money, we can only do so much, but yet we want to do it all. And I think that's powerful. Have you noticed any, this is just my own curiosity, because everything goes through cycles, and obviously the diversity, equity, inclusion kind of cycle in the media was quite feverish a few years ago. Is it settling in now to just a quiet, here's what we're going to, because again, you've heard it around ESG, you've heard it around so many things that we over-index and the media blows it up. Then it kind of settles back into the background of where the real work gets done. Is there anything that you can kind of just comment on where that is from an awareness or top of mind conversation in the media, which it has been, versus, okay, yes, that's still there, but we're also really getting better at getting, quote unquote, doing the work?
I would say it's a combination of both.
Okay.
A few things. I mean, there's the International Women's Day and International Women's History Month, both being in March, that are, you know, really continue to draw attention to these things. So I don't think it's going into the background in that way. I would say it's actually, that's a way to like continue to highlight and promote it. And it's, you know, it's both from the public perspective, and the government is very committed to, you know, sort of putting out more research and conducting more data and so on from that perspective. And then corporations are also looking for ways to showcase what they're doing. And I would say the reason for that, if we talk about ESG and the S in the ESG, I mean, overall, like if a company wants to see long-term economic success, they're really starting to understand the necessity of seeing full participation, like diverse representation around the decision-making table. And so it's becoming an imperative. And so I would say it's becoming a statement for companies to say, we're actually committed to like, and setting metrics and setting goals around achieving gender parity. And so I would say it's more so now than ever, companies are starting to get, you know, like like more public about their work around the gender parity piece and the overall diversity.
Being able to quantify it with a direct line of sight to that, this is a benefit to us economically. And it's also the right thing to do. And it checks more of those boxes are become like, well, no, it's non-negotiable. This is not an option.
Exactly. Yeah. And so through our, what we're seeing is, you know, as Axis pivots to, I mean, what I'll say and what we're really trying to ensure that our sponsors of the Calgary Influential Women in Business Awards are aware of is that their dollars actually fuel the work that Axis Connects does year round. Mm-hmm. And the work that we do year round involves like meaningful events, meaningful programming that supports women along their career journeys. And they're getting, I find our sponsors are starting, and our sponsors being the corporates that employ our members, are looking at ways to get behind more of those initiatives to say, oh, you're actually hosting, like, for example, in every fall, we host a leadership forum, which is a day-long leadership forum focused on like skill building and leadership tools and training, to support women. And we're seeing like anecdotally, I'm hearing from our members that they're going back to their workplace fired up and are pushing their leadership.
I believe my wife attended that event and loved it actually.
Yeah. And it's just that, you know, it's sort of like, okay, well, how can we impact change? And then, you know, to our corporate partners' credit, they're hearing their employees after they leave and these sessions and are fired up and are actually looking at ways to impact change. And you know, we heard one of our members told me that she went back to her company after the leadership forum and looked at her board and said there are no women, and pushed her leadership team to consider qualified female employees, and actually now they have two women on their boards. And so we're starting to really see that direct impact.
Well, that's a direct line of sight to this happened and then there was an outcome. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. And so we as an organization are very much interested in tracking progress and data and analytics. And so we survey our members, we conduct annual focus groups, and we really gain lots of critical insight that then feeds into the programming that we offer. And we try to be really innovative in how we offer that. We're conducting a lot of our own research now and doing a lot of that thought leadership piece to feed into the work that we're doing and ultimately be able to be even more impactful when we're invited to those public policy discussions and support our corporate partners along this journey.
Amber, I'm feeling quite inspired by my conversation with you today. Thank you for one, educating me and helping me shift and continue to grow my perspective. And I hope for the people listening, some also walked away going, huh, that's a fresh perspective to look at it. And also just thank you for the work you do. Tirelessly. I know how passionate you are. I've known each other for a few years now. So when I had the chance to reconnect and chat with you and kind of get this update, which was amazing. And oh, by the way, you should go to the event. So all that to be said. So check out the website, accessconnects.com. Purchase your CFA award tickets. I'm the site's running on the side, so it's actually giving me a trigger to buy. So I know there's still seats available. So hopefully in a few days when this comes out and the audience is listening to it, they'll get a chance. And anything you want to leave us with? That was so inspiring today. Thank you.
You know, I think you've said it all. You tied it all up with a nice little bow. But I would say the one thing I would say is, you know, consider attending our annual event, but also look at the other programming that we offer year round. Get involved. Membership is free, and you know, we really work to offer really deliberate programming that supports our female members, but also our male allies. And we're really keen to see men be involved in this movement as well. And we're seeing a growing representation of male allies as well. So I would say to all listeners of all genders, get involved, and there's something here for you.
Amazing. Thank you, Amber. Thanks for coming on. I look forward to the event. I'm quite excited, and I'll see you there.
Thank you so much for having me, Tyler.
My pleasure.